Old East and Old West Paint Creek Lutheran Churches, along with my congregations, also founding members of Call to Faithfulness, and they're also core congregations, and I serve on the Lutheran Core Steering Committee nationally, and I am also been tasked with being chair of the Lutheran Core Working Group for Mission and Benevolence, looking towards the future, both in and outside the ELCA for all those involved. And I'm also sort of the regional traveling guy for CORE. I have tomorrow afternoon I have to be in central Illinois. Next Saturday, at a place between Milwaukee and Madison. 2 weeks from today, I'm returning the favor for Corey by being up at Iron Mountain, Michigan, along with Ryan Schwartz from the steering committee for a presentation there for their big day. And then I've got I also speak to some other congregations as well that have asked for getting information. I've been tasked today, it initially was with stewardship question, how do we support the ministries of the church? And I'm going to give a little time to that too. But I imagine that I'm probably the best source of information here for those who have questions about what they might have seen in the papers or media this past week about Lutheran CORE starting a new Lutheran body. And so since I'm fresh off of that steering committee meeting where that decision was made and the press releases and all that were put together, I'm willing to take questions on that too and try to clarify some information that way too and maybe say some other things that Lutheran CORE is doing. So first, on the issue of redirecting giving, benevolence, that this is a matter of good stewardship. And please note that redirect does not equal withhold or keep for oneself. I would remind you of what Pastor Paul Ulrich said in his part at the close of the meeting at Fisher's. Don't keep your benevolence for yourself. It will eat you alive. And also note that redirecting is not a matter of punishing. We ought not be doing this out of anger. If you're doing it out of anger, you need to set down a bit and let things subside and make good decisions that are not emotional decisions. Just to highlight, lots of congregations and folks were really angry after the churchwide assembly, and a slew of places have rushed congregations into taking votes to leave without having a place to go. And without having taken time to educate the rest of the congregation, with the consequence that, to this point, about a third of the votes being taken to leave by congregations are failing and leaving divided congregations in their wake. So you need to take time for this. And that includes even the decision about redirecting, that it not be done out of anger, not be done out of a desire to punish, but out of a desire to be good stewards. Remember this. I said this last month. Resentment is the poison we give ourselves thinking we're hurting someone else. So it is about being good stewards. Now, is everybody sort of within access of one of the suggestions for redirecting congregational and individual giving? There aren't any in the back. So if you've got three people in a row that have one each, we need to sort of share those around if we can. There are something you should probably write on that sheet somewhere after you get it, or if you don't have it written down somewhere else, or make sure that you grab a Lutheran CORE brochure on the way out, one of the unfolded ones that you'll have to fold and it still won't work out right. That's the problem when the copying is left to the pastor. Meaning me, is that you should write the name. If you don't have it, if you've not been to the website and you've got internet access, you should go to www. And then all in small case, lutherancore.org. So www.lutherancore.org, and check out that site. If you've not been there before, if you want it, that's the best place to get information and to gather and to be as immersed in what's going on and what the possibilities are. Because on that site, sometime in the next few weeks, one of my goals is that we will have on there the list of all the at least the tentative or initial list of those for who, those ministries deserving of support that and recommending for support and some and whatever internet or website or mailing address contact information would be available. In the thing I've got before you now, I've got three categories for giving, for redirecting congregational and individual giving. The first one is efforts to establish and maintain confessional integrity inside and outside the ELCA. And obviously, I put Lutheran Coalition for Renewal there. As a freestanding synod, supporting and ministering Orthodox traditional Lutherans, both those who stay in the ELCA and those who leave. Call to faithfulness. We could use financial support. We have things that need to be done. More things that we could do. The Society of the Holy Trinity. If your pastor's not a member of it yet, you should encourage them to consider it. At the heart of the Society of the Holy Trinity is just simply an effort, a ministerium, to help pastors keep their ordination vows. That's a good thing. Because that vow includes promising to uphold the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions in our preaching and teaching. The American Lutheran Publicity Bureau, ALPB, publisher of Lutheran Forum, Forum Letter, the online forum, and a variety of things. They've been around since 1913. They have been a great voice for Orthodox Lutheranism for the past century. Then I also have the Northeast Iowa Synod listed there, and I do so especially in light of the Synod Council's recent actions. The passing of the two resolutions, authored and introduced by Pastor Marshall Hahn, were the first Synod Council to take stand against the actions of the Churchwide Assembly, and may not be the last. I can think of about 7 or 8 other synods I could name off the top of my head that are involved in looking at doing this, either through their Synod Councils or their Synod Assemblies. So we have started a good thing, and because we ought to support and reward and express appreciation and support for the Synod when it makes good decisions that help all of us. And so I would echo Pastor Hahn in suggesting, recommending as you get around, if you're thinking of that you don't want to send monies onto the ELCA, that can be done. What you do is figure out what what you used to send as mission benevolence to the Synod and calculate at least 58% of that for the Synod, because that's where the Synod sends only 42% onto the ELCA now these days, down from 55. But send it as designated giving. Put a note, treasures, and you send it. Put a note in the envelope as designated solely for the Northeastern Iowa Synod. And you can write that in on the memo line as well. My treasurer is here from one of my churches. Jeff, what do we put on our checks we send? Designated for the Northeast Iowa Synod only. So it doesn't go in undesignated support, it goes in designated. And I want to report that we've been doing that for a dozen years at Paint Creek. And I want to say that the Synod has honored and honestly kept that request. The Synod has been very honest and in honoring that. Then a couple other things to list down: the Fellowship of Confessional Lutherans, the Word Alone Network, the Institute of Lutheran Theology, and something to think about is financial support for Orthodox seminarians. They are out there. They still come through, like Corey Johnson or Jason Cooper or Ian Wolf or Matthew Voyer, a host of faithful pastors that still come out in spite of things. And One way of getting more of that is for congregations to begin trying to find ways to support financially those seminarians. Otherwise, lots of seminarians are coming out with debt of over $100,000 between college and seminary. It's hard to start out. It's hard to start pastoring out in a rural area when you're carrying a $100,000 debt. Global mission opportunities, World Mission Prayer League, Lutheran Bible Translators, Lutheran World Relief, which is something we already support, the ELSA, and you can support that one actually through the Synod as well. You can send a check to Lutheran World Relief through the Synod, or you can send the funds directly to Lutheran World Relief. The Messiah Foundation, which I think a number of congregations here have got connections to, and all the others that are listed there, and including direct partnerships with Asian and Latin American Lutheran churches and elsewhere. And that's one of the things that Lutheran Corps is working on, will be ecumenical relations and working out mission and ministry arrangements with Lutheran bodies across the world that are beginning to tell the ELCA that they do not want to have a connection with the ELCA. We've already heard that's already being spoken in Tanzania and the Mekane Yesus. Now, a recent news article from the church-wide office, Presiding Bishop Hansen wanted to make a point that things are well, that our ecumenical partners are still talking to us, and that there's no problems going on at all. That even though Mekane Yesus, the Ethiopian Lutheran Church, has expressed its disagreement, that they're still in conversation with us. That's a favorite word, conversation. I talked with some Mekane Yesus representatives this week. They have a different view of how that conversation went. Their view of the conversation was, they said, you are in error. You need to repent, or our relationship will be over. I guess you could call that a conversation. Then please note the domestic mission opportunities. New church starts and plants. One of the pastors here today reported that his son is a mission developer, and they're in tough shape. The big deal was made as a report at the church, at the ELCA Church Council, that they weren't going to cut mission starts any further. But that's because they've already cut them in half in terms of the salaries for mission developers. As starting January 1st, the salaries for mission developers and pastors of mission congregations are being halved by an action already taken before the church council. And I am getting contacts from mission developers and mission congregations that are looking for support. And they're good, faithful congregations and pastors, some that will stay in the ELCA, some that won't. I think they all deserve that support. Plus, we're looking at trying to find ways. We've got, unfortunately, a lot of Lutheran folks leaving the ELCA. Before we lose them all to the evangelical churches and elsewhere, this might be our window of opportunity over the next 6 months to try to help gather them, that even if they're not going to be in the ELCA, that they could be the mission start for another congregation. Then I would note supporting Orthodox mission congregations in among the African national congregations in the U.S. is about 120 of them, Hispanic congregations and ministries, Asian congregations and ministries. They are folks who have wanted to stand with us and who are appalled by the decisions of the church-wide assembly. And for many of them, it is a crisis of conscience that many of them may not stay, but they will still need support. And that's part, and in part, a good part because of them, is part of the driving force for another, for Corps work in forming another Lutheran church body. Then there is Lutheran Disaster Response. Yeah, I know it's an ELCA ministry, but it does great work. It did great work through the floods. And so again, we're not about punishing. We're about supporting directly those ministries that need and deserve support. Youth Encounter, which used to be Lutheran Youth Encounter, but still very Lutheran. Exodus International, Orthodox Campus Ministries, Prison Ministries, and then local things. So that stuff will be coming up. Look on the Lutheran Core website. It will also be in the Lutheran Core newsletters. We'll try to find other ways to get out lists of things. But if you're starting your budget processing for next year, please take a look at this. And I would simply also ask that you build some flexibility into your congregational and personal benevolence budgets to respond as further opportunities and needs arise. So, questions or comments on the redirecting?
With Lutheran World Federation, or
he's still president or chair of it, so
new general secretary.
There
is a new general secretary.
What does that mean?
You don't agree with each other from the statement that came out. There's friction from the statement that came out from the new general secretary.
Pastor Gary from Ackley and Wellsburg. While I'm grateful for the list, my concern is that it might wind up in congregations where they're not ready for that list. I saw this same list in Roseville, Minnesota this past week as the conclusion of an hour-long Bible study. What you got was the cut to the chase. You missed out big time. You didn't get the Bible study. And my concern is that if this list gets taken back to your congregation and simply trotted out, your congregation will have missed out big time. So that's a very, very genuine concern that I have. But I'd also like you to comment on something. It's my understanding that there are some congregations, the ethnic congregations, that are in jeopardy at this point. And there's no good spin on this. I'm real conscious of Eighth Commandment issues. But I'm really struggling here to see some of the actions that I am aware of that are being taken by the ELCA as anything but threats. When a concerned ethnic congregation, an immigrant congregation in the United States, is told that if you continue to express your resistance, your funding will be restricted. And if you, in fact, leave, all of the money you previously got as gift now becomes a loan due and payable. Mm-hmm. I've got a concern with that, and I'd just like you to address that if you have any information.
Yeah. Where do I stop? You might be aware that prior to the churchwide assembly, that a group of Hispanic pastors in South Florida came out with a letter imploring the churchwide assembly not to make the decisions that they were making. The pastor who headed that group in writing that letter noted that the first week of August came and the usual check of support from the ELCA did not arrive. It didn't arrive all month. The first week of September came. The check for the financial support check for September did not arrive. Didn't come the rest of the month till he was at Fisher's, and he was one of the speakers, and had mentioned precisely what Pastor Burkhalter has referred to. Well, the good news is the first week of October, three checks arrived. That's still sort of the implicit stuff is unconscionable, and there are deep concerns beyond even the implied threats, which is that frankly I heard this from a Chinese pastor and also from an Oromo pastor that they are, it's an issue of conscience. Should they accept funds from a church body that has made a decision that they think is a terrible error that cannot be abided? Are they, I mean, it's a, again, question of confessional resistance or status confessionis for them. Which is the right choice to make? To which, at the steering committee, we said, well, we're not going to impinge on your conscience. But we would just remind you, that's not the ELCA's money. That's the gift from the congregations of this church for the mission of this church. And any attempt that made to use that to control. So, but we are working on ways to try to hook up, arrange for financial support for those congregations, and working with the various ethnic communities and working with mission developers. And our question is not whether they're going to leave or stay in the LCA. The question is, are they faithful? If they're faithful and stand under the scriptures, we want to support them.
Pastor Tom Martin from Kensett Lutheran Parish. And Gary, that's not a new policy. In a mission situation in Elkport and Littleport redevelopment. Thank you, Jason. And I had a 4-year contract, and we had certain amounts of money that came from the Division of Outreach. If we had stopped after 2 years of that development, we would have owed back 2 years worth of funding that they had given us. And they were very upfront about that right from the beginning. So we kind of knew where we stood. So that's not a new policy. It's been around a while. I mean, this was back in 2000, back in 1997.
Yeah, that's true, Tom. But there are cases where new wording or new contract has been coming out over the last year or so,
okay.
And the Oromos have gotten it and refused to sign it.
Yeah.
And the same with the Asian. So they looked at it and said, yeah, "We're not signing that because we're not going to owe."
Right, and it did make the congregation a little nervous. I will say that. more than a little nervous.
Yeah,
but. And then my other comment is, if we can parcel out all the stuff that we've been, you know, that 42% has been doing, why do we even have an ELCA? I mean, if we can simply parcel it out and not have a mitigating body to deliver those, then I want to know what we're losing. That's my concern.
Yeah.
Are we losing anything, or is there something else that's going on that we're not seeing or hearing, or, you know? That's my concern.
I think we've lost a lot of stuff over the years. I mean, that we're at this point ought to be a thrill or enjoyable for nobody. There ought to be deep grief. But one thing is that we're not supporting sexuality studies. We're not supporting enormous amounts of money and time being poured into social statements, supporting funding for advocacy in Washington, D.C., out of the LOGA office. Or actually they became the ELCA office. They changed their name. But you're right. There are some things that you lose because you don't have that center to help organize. Marshall.
Reverend Hahn.
Yeah, I think both of those are real good points, Tom. The first one, being careful about what you repeat that you've heard. Make sure you know what you're talking about. And, if you say something that you've heard and it turns out that what you are repeating is not the whole story, you just lose credibility in that. So it's very, very good to be very careful about what you say and think about, you know, what is this that you're repeating. And the other one, yeah, where to look carefully what we are going to be supporting. Just to repeat again, our call to faithfulness is not taking a stand one way or the other on redirecting. We're giving options here that you can do if that's what you choose to do. If you choose to continue to support the ELCA, that's your decision there. And you can faithfully do that out of some of those very concerns that Tom raised, that I don't know if this is going to be best there. But here are some other options to be looking at and to be careful about that. And what are you giving it towards? We looked at this in our congregation, and we took the wheel, the ELCA wheel, and said, okay, looking at that, global missions is this much, domestic missions is this much, and then, you know, administration is this much, and so on. And we said, okay, how can we be supporting those types of things if we decide to redirect and continue to be supporting domestic, global, social ministries, and so on? That's another way to look at it.
If we continue to give benevolence to our synod, we want to support our synod,
yep,
but at the same time we're specifying we want this for missions and synod use only, does that pay the bishop and the staff? And
yes. Yep. Yep. I mean, have a bishop and staff are part of the synod's ministry and mission. I mean, and I want to say, for whatever disagreements I may have had, I have had with the bishop over the years, I will say this publicly, we have been well served in by most of his leadership. But I mean, there's not a pastor here that can say that his congregation has been well served by all of his leadership. I can't either. So,
Ken, one of the things I thought was interesting, Jason Cooper, I had the mic, so I took it. In Roseville, we were encouraged in the idea of redirecting giving, with the ELCA making this announcement this week, following the council meeting, of all these positions that were being eliminated, to try and find out what had been eliminated, what budget items, what positions, what staff, and all that. And I found it very interesting, and I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but if you find out, I would love to know. They said they would not release the names of those people who had been let go out of respect for their privacy. But how are we supposed to know what ministries have been cut, mm-hmm, no longer have staffing, however you want to put it? So I'm sincerely asking that question. If anybody does find out, I think it would be helpful to get that information to Call to Faithfulness, because one of the areas that I suspect will probably lose some funding is campus ministry, which is something important to me. But now, according to the press release, they're not going to say who was let go. So how do you know where the funding...
And they're not saying what the positions are.
Correct, I think.
Correct. So I mean, they're not giving names, they're not saying what positions. But I want to finish on, because I think I'm out of time. So if you want, I guess we'll save the Lutheran Corps folks who want to ask questions about what that means for later. I'll just say this, is that Lutheran Corps is not itself becoming a new church body. It is helping to give birth to another church body for folks who are leaving or are contemplating the prospect of leaving over the next year or the years to follow, wanting a body to belong to that has somewhat more structure and accountability than Lutheran Congregations and Missions for Christ does, LCMC. There are lots of folks for whom LCMC is a good fit, and then they can go there. But there are other folks who are finding who want something just with a little more responsible, accountable structure for holding congregations and pastors accountable to the scriptures and confessions. And that's what's being worked on, and it will be following the conclusion of the Lutheran Corps convocation in August. 5 minutes later will be the starting convention for the whatever that new body will be. But Lutheran Core will continue to be made up of folks who are both in the LCA and outside the LCA, trying to support faithful Orthodox Lutheran Christians. I want to second what Pastor Burkhalter said about the danger of a list, is that it's not just enough to take a list, even like this, and dump it in front of your council. You can go to the Word Alone website. I think you can find Steve King's Bible study on there. I did tweak Steve's list a bit for ourselves locally, but it does need to be, the issue of redirecting needs to be approached prayerfully and biblically and without anger. If you're still angry at the meeting, that's not the meeting to do your redirecting, planning, or thinking. Wait till the emotions have subsided. Thank you.